Tonight, my job is to give you the broad picture of what we're going to focus on this year, what the community is going to be about, and hopefully to try to get you a little bit excited about what God is going to do with us and where we're headed and what the leaders are excited about, what your elders are excited about. In the next 4 weeks after tonight, James is going to be preaching a really cool sermon series on salvation. And so you should show up for it. It's going to be really cool. But he's going to walk through the four aspects of salvation and then show you how that worked in his testimony, in his life. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun. But let's get to work tonight. The theme of this year that the elders have come up with for us as a village is maturing towards mission. So we as a community are going to work on maturing towards mission. And so what I'm going to do tonight is try to walk through these words and explain to you what we mean by them and what we're thinking. I'm not going to give you a lot of practical stuff, but I am going to try to give you some meat to those things and try to get you excited about what God is doing. So, maturing towards mission. I'm going to start with the word mission. And I guess what I'd like to say as a beginning is you really have to understand that if you decide to be a follower of Jesus, if you decide to commit your life to God, that you have stepped into a pretty incredible story. And if you've been with the village over the last 6 months as we've talked about who God is and we've talked about the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, if you haven't caught that you're at a place where you have the Spirit of God with you, and you have this opportunity and this commission to bring the kingdom of God and the message of Christ to the world and transform things. And the cool thing about it is that God has given you through Scripture and through Jesus a framework and a structure to do that, but he hasn't given you like spelling it out A plus B equals C. This is how you'll do it. He's actually given us an opportunity, the time that we live in, to freeform our way through this, to invent and be creative and express the gospel in so many different ways and bring that to bear in our particular place, in our particular time, and with our friends and our community. Now, I would be remiss in talking about mission if we didn't start with Matthew. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to the Gospel of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament. There's some Bibles around you. But if you would turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. This is Jesus' commission to us, and it starts this way. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. So I'll just start out with, some of you are going to be listening to me and thinking, oh my goodness, Eric, I'm not so sure what you're saying is a good idea. I don't know if the village can do that. I don't even know, you know, who you are or what you're talking about. So I know some of you will be a little doubtful, just like the disciples. But here's what Jesus said. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. If you're a father, maybe you've had this experience, or if you've obviously had a father, you've had this experience where your dad says, I'm your father, and this is what you will do. Right? I have done that more and more as my son has gotten older. I'm your father, and this is how you're going to do things. The reason that I say I'm your father is I'm establishing authority. Somehow, I've learned after having kids that this word I can say, father, I'm the father, carries a lot of weight right now with two little kids. It's just a big thing. So I announce my authority, and then I tell them what to do. And that's key for us if we're thinking about what God has called us to do in mission, is to realize that when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, he has every right and he has the authority to tell us what he's about to tell us. And we should take it extremely seriously. He's saying, I have the right to tell you, I have the authority to tell you. And he says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the commission that is given to the disciples, which is then basically given to you and me, is to go make disciples. That you and I, as a community of God, this little church, the village, the churches around us that follow Jesus, we all have the same commission. It's to make disciples. It's not to make converts. It's to make disciples. And disciples are disciplined learners. You and I have a mission as a community to make and be people who are disciplined learners. When you think about discipline, it usually means that if you're going to be disciplined about something, you're going to put other things aside. If I'm going to lose weight and be disciplined about it, then I put aside food, and or I eat food that's going to be healthy for me. If I'm going to get in shape, right, I put aside sitting in front of the TV for multiple hours watching it, and I go and I'm active and I run. But being disciplined is intentionally stepping into something. Now, the way that that's done, Jesus says, is pretty simple. It's teaching people the commands of God. And teaching is a big part of being a disciple. Teaching and learning. Now here's the thing, most of the time in our culture, because we grow up in the schools where the guy stands in the front or the teacher stands up and teaches, right? Says, here's the information. We're used to sitting in an audience like this and listening. The only problem is a third of us are auditory learners, right? The other two-thirds of us are only going to remember about four things I said today because we don't learn auditorily, right? And so teaching becomes something that has to meet us in a lot of different places. So when we talk about our community's job is to make disciples, as you look around at the people in this room, what God is calling you to do is make disciples of one another, is to teach one another. All of you have this role in the community. But as we think about these ideas of teaching, if you're a parent, the people that you'll start making disciples are of your kids or your wife and your husband. If you're not married, the people that you're making disciples of are the people who are married and their children and your friends. All of us are in a place of helping each other learn the commands of God. And we have to take that responsibility extremely seriously. And some of us are like, well, I can't do that.
Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. really hard for most of us to accept. And you are new. A lot of us have all of this garbage and all this crap that we just carry around with us, and we think that's our identity. So Paul is saying, if you decide to follow Jesus, you take on Jesus' identity. You are a new creature. You have the opportunity to act out of that. He goes on in verse 18. But now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me just jump back onto that identity and still readdress this. My son, he went home for a lot of walks.
To himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he was committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You want to know how to make disciples? You want to know how to be a disciple? It is to take hold of the ministry that God has given you, and that is to be the person who communicates the message of reconciliation. That Christ has taken your sin on himself and given you an opportunity to have new life. And so when we struggle in our lives, when we struggle in our marriages, when we see people struggling, the predominant message that we need to offer each other is this message of reconciliation, that our brokenness and our crap, all of that stuff, God reconciled it. That the gospel can transform the things that are going on in our life. That the gospel can change the way we look at them and the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about one another and the way we think about the world and how it operates. Now, I know that that's kind of abstract, but I just want you to hold on to the idea that the mission of the village this year is going to be making disciples, and that one of the key elements of that mission is to hang on to our identity as new creatures and to hang on to our vocation as ministers of reconciliation, and to bring that message to bear on everything that we're struggling with and everything that is beautiful. Because it's not just about the brokenness. The gospel transforms the way you and I look at beauty, the way we look at the world around us. And so those are the things we want to hang on to when we're talking about mission. So the first word in our maturing towards mission is maturity. I was talking to Keith recently, and he was telling me about Anna's soccer team, or maybe it was Julie, I can't remember. But early on, there was no real coach. And so, I don't know if you've ever been to a soccer game with a bunch of eight-year-olds with no coach and no one who really knows how to play soccer. It's mostly like a little herd that runs after the ball, and one team wins 10-0. That's usually how those games work, right? But as Anna has sort of progressed, they've gotten some coaches, and so now the team has actually had been able to build on a structure, and so now they actually know, when I was talking to Anna, she knows actually where all the different positions are. In fact, she had some coach that taught her all these positions that I'd never heard of in soccer. So since I've been in soccer, people must have changed everything. But anyway, she had a good foundation now for what she was looking at. And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I'll give you a few minutes to find Hebrews. It's after Philemon. You can go Titus, Philemon. You'll find it. Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 6 really quickly. And this idea of maturing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and following says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of instructions about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." When you read that, the first thing you think is Paul saying, you need to stop spending all this time, or not Paul, though most likely he wrote Paul or Hebrews, but anyway, the writer of Hebrews is saying, maybe what you need to do is stop kind of focusing on the basic message of Jesus. That's what it kind of sounds like. But what he's really saying is that you need to stop doubting what the basic message of Jesus is. What's happening when the writer of Hebrews is writing is the people are continually, like Anna's early soccer team, hoarding around the soccer ball, just running all over the place, trying to, thinking, am I saved? Am I not saved? Is this the right things that we're supposed to do? Is this where we're supposed to go? And what the writer is saying is, no, no, no. What you need to do is take hold of the fact that you are in Christ, that you, what these ideas give you, and build on them. So maturity becomes building on a foundation. So when we talk about what is the foundation that we want to build on as a community, what is it that we're trying to build on? The first thing is what I've already said. As a community, we want you to take hold and own your identity in Christ. We want you to be like Elliot. We want to be a community of Elliots that announces who you are in Christ, that sees yourself as a new creature in Christ with a vocation. Because we feel like there are three areas in this community that we need to work on if we're going to be effective disciples, if we're going to build on that foundation. And where we get that from is Nehemiah chapter 13. As a community, we spent, I don't know, 25 weeks in Nehemiah. And so I'm not going to read all of that, but let me just briefly give you the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes with the exiles from Babylon, and he rebuilds Jerusalem. He helps rebuild the walls, get worship back together. And when we get to the last chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has gone into retirement. And 10 years later or so, everything has gone really bad in Jerusalem. So he goes back, and this is where he gets really angry and beats a lot of people up and yanks people's hair out, and it's kind of a crazy chapter. But he's angry about three things. And these are the three things that we as a community or as leaders feel like we need to work on. We feel like as we went through Nehemiah that God was saying, this is what you need to work on. The first thing that Nehemiah was upset about was that the community had stopped paying for their ministers and had stopped supporting the temple. And so the new residents who weren't supposed to be in the temple, were living there, and all of the priests and ministers had gone off and gotten new jobs, and nobody was worshiping anymore. And so there was financially a problem. And so as James and Rod and I have looked at this community over the last 9 years, we have struggled financially as a community. But not only just as a community, as we've talked with you guys and listened to your story, we've realized that you too have struggled financially. Some of it's just been, it's just how much money you make, and it comes in and it goes out. Some of it is that you've struggled to hang on to a budget, and there's a lot of different reasons for why you've struggled and we've all struggled financially. But the reality is, we as a community need to work on our finances. We need to work on our individual finances, and we need to work on our finances as a community. So we're going to work on it. That's one of the things that we're going to deal with in maturing, is we would like to become a financially mature community. But not only that, we would like to become a community that's excited about participating in the community. That where you put your money is a place that you're excited about being part of. And so those are the two things. You can kind of put them together. Finances and presence, being participation, being part of things, is the first thing that Nehemiah addressed, and it's what we're going to address. Your finances, the church's finances, finances as a community, and how that impacts us in our involvement in the community. The second thing that Nehemiah got really upset was is that on the Sabbath, nobody was resting. Instead, they were out shopping, and they were selling stuff. And the Sabbath had gone, right? The time of rest, the time of stopping. And as a community, I would say, and when I say, hey, all of you, I'm including myself, and I'm not saying it's universal. Like, some of you actually probably rest really well. Others of you don't. But one of the things that I hear often from people is, I don't hear God. And the reason I would say you don't hear God is that you don't rest. Because the whole purpose of Sabbath and resting was not necessarily to relax, so that is one part of rest. The other part of rest was that you could begin the process of clearing out your mind so you could hear God. I don't know, like, a lot of us have a hard time sitting still, right? And we have a hard time praying, and we have a hard time just being quiet and listening to God, because what happens, as soon as we sit down, we begin to run through our schedule for the day. We would go through, oh, wow, that person said that mean thing to me. Oh, I need to do that. And then we just lose track of what we're doing. And so one of the disciplines that we want to work on as a community to mature us towards mission, to be effective ministers of reconciliation, is to become a community that rests in order to listen to God. So we're going to work on doing that. The third thing that Nehemiah was really upset about, and the thing that we're going to work on, was what is happening in marriages. What happened was the Israelites started marrying off to different nations. And so the children had lost any sense of identity. And the reality is that families are a place where the gospel can go forward. It goes forward to children, and it can go forward to the people around that family. And so what we would like to do as a community is address a few things in marriage and address a few ideas in singleness. What we like to do is talk through and work on our sexuality as a community. I mean, in the sense of in our marriages. We'll talk a little bit about that. We want to talk about marriages relationally, what's going on there, and in parenting. And also, if we're single, what does it look like to be prepared for marriage? But not only that, and I'll say this again, to give single people permission to speak into the marriages around them. Now, I'm not saying that now we're going to give single people this broad permission to, like, go tap a bunch of married people on the shoulder and say, all right, we're going to sit down and talk about your marriage, and you need to tell me everything. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we want to be a community that is committed to having marriages that are strong, because marriages often offer a place for redemption. They offer places to invite people They're structures of the kingdom. They're models of what God is doing in the world, if they're healthy. And when they're not healthy, they're distracting from that. And if we're not healthy as single people, and we're not out bringing the gospel to bear in the world around us, and we're off just distracted about being married, and am I ever going to get married, and so wrapped up in that, that we lose a sense of our calling and what God's called us to. So, when we talk about maturity, we're talking about this year, financially, how we rest, and how we're preparing for marriage, and what marriage looks like for us. Those are what maturity is going to look like. What we're going to do to address some of those is some of the groups that we do will address that. But our drumming circles, which we'll have six of them this year, will address those issues and then give you opportunities to do further work. So, for example, January 29th, one of the things that's going to be talked about is finances. And as we talk through what God intends for our finances and we do some other stuff in those drumming circles, you'll have an opportunity to say, hey, I would like more work on this. You sign up and you will form a group, and that group will begin the process of working together to be financially in a place that's good. So that's kind of what that picture looks like. Now, the last word is towards. And I like the word towards. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Towards means intention. It means that we are headed somewhere. When you say, I'm going towards somewhere, you're intentional. But when we say maturing towards mission, I think this is, the writer of Hebrews grasps it in a pretty intense way and what we mean. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may now not grow weary and lose heart. This year, when we talk about maturing, we want to take that kind of towardsness, that kind of intensity. We want to say, you know what? I am going to put aside the things that encumber me, and I, because the elders of my church and my community is saying, we need to address these issues, I'm going to move towards mission by maturing in these areas. When I listen to that verse, I get really, really excited, because what it means is that all through time and right now, we have everybody witnessing. You know, all of Martin Luther and you know, Paul and Peter, they're our cloud of witnesses watching us. You're our cloud of witnesses watching each other. It's not just something you're doing alone, throwing aside these encumbrances. It's something that's exciting. It's something it's life transforming. And so what I'd like you to do this week, and this is kind of where I'm going to take this practically, is on Friday, it's technically our first Friday fast. New Year's was Friday, so we moved our first Friday fast to the second Friday. So at 7:00 in the morning, if you're a guy, I'd like to see you here, because we're going to spend some time praying. At 5:30 in the evening, if you can make it here and you're a woman, here's the place to come and pray. But what we're asking you to do is fast, and here's what we want you to fast about. I want you to think through the three things, the three areas of maturity that we're going to be working on this year, and I want you to ask God, what is it that I need to work on? Does it have to do with my finances? Does it have to do with rest? Are there issues in my marriage that I need to deal with? What I want you to come out of Friday with is a sense of what God is calling you to be mature in. Because I suspect not all three of those are areas that you need to work on. Because if we're going to be effective missionaries in our community, if we're going to be effective people who speak reconciliation to one another in the world, we need to have some maturity about us. That doesn't mean we're going to give up mission until we get mature. It just means we're going to be in the process of maturity. So, Friday, you're going to fast. Now, the way we do fasting at the village is we suggest that you fast food. We do it Friday morning, three meals, Friday lunch, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But if you have health issues, then pick something that you do regularly during the day and don't do it. And every time that you go to do it, say, oh, okay, that's a signal for me to sit down and say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to work on? So three things: your finances, how you rest, and marriage, what's going on in your marriage. If you're single, what kinds of struggles do you have in that? What kind of control do they have over you? There's a lot of places to address in that. So, I'm really excited about what God's going to do. I'm excited about the drumming circles. I'm excited about the different events that we're going to do. Excited about just seeing you guys grow, seeing our community grow as we reach out. Does anybody have any questions that they want to ask me?